We want to consider this morning Simeon's joy in the Lord. I invite you to take your Bibles and turn with me to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2. We saw Zechariah's joy in the Lord, and now Simeon. I'm going to read the verses 21 to 35. Focusing on 25 to 35. In verse 20, the shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen, as it had been told them. And then verse 21. And at the end of 8 days, when he was circumcised, he was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. When the time came for their purification, according to the law of Moses, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As is written in the law of the Lord, every male who first opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or 2 young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came in the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace, according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel. And his father and his mother marveled at what was said about him. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign that is opposed, and a sword will pierce through your own soul also, so that thoughts from many hearts may be revealed. So far, the reading of God's holy word. Several months ago, when Prince Harry and Meghan received their first child, photographers were very eager to get a picture of the royal baby. News of the birth very quickly traveled around the world. Because of the fame of the royal couple, reporters and photographers knew that people would be interested in information and pictures. News of the event was broadcasted on the radio, television, and internet. It was also printed in many newspapers and magazines. I don't recall when Princess Diana gave birth, but I suspect the response was much the same. Reporters, cameramen, photographers, paparazzi, all doing their utmost to cover the event, all committed to spreading the news of the new birth in the royal family. Famous people get a lot of media coverage. The public is interested in hearing about their lives. Those whom the world considers to be great are the focus of much attention. This has always been so in the history of the world. But congregation, when the greatest person ever was born, the one who was sent from the Father, there were very few people who took any interest at all. There was no official herald sent throughout the land to proclaim his birth. There were no crowds flocking to Bethlehem to worship the child. Those who were part of the religious establishment did not rush to Bethlehem to see the fulfillment of prophecy. Mary and Joseph responded to the decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. They arrived in Bethlehem, the city of David, only to find out that there was no room for them in the inn. Joseph had to take his pregnant wife to some other place, perhaps in the open air or in a stable, or as early tradition has it, in a certain cave that was used for a stable. The child was born in very humble surroundings, in poverty and obscurity. There was not even a midwife present to assist Mary. She had to clean and clothe the child herself with her own hands. She wrapped the baby and laid him in a feeding trough for the cattle. 9 months earlier, when the angel Gabriel appeared to Mary in Nazareth to tell her that she was going to give birth to a son, the angel said to her, "He will be great. He will be great." But when the child was born, he seemed to be just an insignificant baby. The son of a poor young Jewish couple, just a nobody. Is this greatness? Nevertheless, while the birth of Jesus was not a highly publicized event, while there was very little attention paid to it, the Lord raised up certain people within Israel and even outside of Israel to confirm the identity of the child. The first ones that came to see Jesus in that feeding trough in Bethlehem was a band of shepherds. Even though shepherds were among the lowest of social rank, the Lord used them to verify that this baby was indeed special. Being informed by a multitude of angels that there was born to them in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord, the shepherds went to investigate. Having seen the child, they glorified and praised God for his great gift. The second person recorded by Luke, who recognized the importance of this newborn child, was a man named Simeon. Like the shepherds who glorified God for the things that they heard and saw, Simeon rejoiced in his Lord at the birth of Jesus. It is this man, Simeon, and his response to the birth of Jesus that we want to consider this morning. From verses 25 to 35, we want to reflect upon his profile, number one, his praises, number two, and his prophecy, number three. His profile, his praises, and his prophecy. Being devout, God-fearing people, Joseph and Mary did what was required by the law after the birth of a son. First, he was circumcised on the eighth day, verse 21, as were all Jewish males. And then after the days of Mary's purification, he was brought to the temple to be presented to the Lord, verse 22. According to Leviticus 12, the mother was required to bring a lamb as a burnt offering to the priest and a young pigeon or a turtle dove as a sin offering. If she was poor and not able to bring a lamb, then she could bring two turtle doves or two young pigeons as a burnt offering and a sin offering. The priest was to offer it before the Lord to make atonement for her. After the birth of a son, a woman was ceremonially unclean for 40 days. She could not take part in religious ceremonies until those 40 days were complete. Then she was supposed to come to the temple to present her offering. The offering that Mary brought was the offering of the poor. Joseph and Mary were very simple folk. They did not have the means to offer a lamb. Congregation, think about this. As they made their way up to the temple, little did they realize that the tiny infant in Mary's arm was the Lamb of God without blemish and without spot. As Mary presented her burnt offering and sin offering to make atonement for sin, little did she realize that the child in her arms would be the supreme sacrifice for sin, not only for her sin, but also for the sin of all his people. As the blood dripped from the turtle doves or pigeons, it was a picture of what would happen to her precious son. The blood of animals could not truly take away sin. They only pointed to the one who would be slain as the perfect and acceptable sacrifice. The precious bundle in her arms would be the fulfillment of all the Old Testament ceremonial regulations. everything that the temple symbolized, all the temple rituals would find their completion in Jesus. Now, when Joseph and Mary arrived at the temple to go through the required procedures, they met a man named Simeon. Not much is known about Simeon, but verse 25 does give us a very brief profile. Some have thought that he was a priest in the temple, but Scripture does not say. All we know about him is what is recorded here. He is nowhere else mentioned in the New Testament. Look with me, please, in your Bibles to verse 25. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. Notice, please, how Luke describes this man. First of all, Simeon was what? Righteous and devout, or just and devout. He was like Zechariah and Elizabeth, as well as Joseph and Mary. He was one of the few in Israel who desired not only to know the Scriptures, but also to live in obedience to them. In Simeon, we see how the Lord always preserves a believing remnant, even in the darkest of days. When Jesus was born, true faith was not easy to find in Israel. The true gospel had been eclipsed by the doctrines of men. Much was said and done in the name of religion, but the true gospel was largely buried under the weight of human traditions. But the Lord never allows his lamp of truth to be entirely snuffed out. He always maintains a witness. The gates of hell can never completely prevail against the church. In the days of wicked Ahab and Jezebel in the Old Testament, the prophet Elijah thought that he was the only one left. But the Lord said to him, I have reserved 7,000 in Israel. Brothers and sisters, this is something that we should always remember when we become discouraged by the evils that surround us. There are Simeons also today whom the Lord preserves. There are Simeons today who seek to be righteous and devout. When we observe the secularism, hedonism, and materialism that characterize so many Christmas celebrations today, we begin to wonder what has happened to the light of truth. The true gospel is often corrupted by the traditions of men. Yet the Lord has his remnant also today who delight in the word and seek to apply its principles to their life. Simeon was righteous and devout. Can that be said of you as well? Are you among those who love righteousness? Secondly, verse 25b, Luke also says of Simeon that he was waiting for the consolation of Israel. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel. He was looking for the comfort that would come through the Messiah. The Old Testament prophet Isaiah, anticipating the work of Christ, said in the 40th chapter, comfort, yes, comfort my people, says your God. Speak comfort to Jerusalem and cry out to her that her warfare is ended, that her iniquity is pardoned. Simeon was looking for the fulfillment of the prophetic word, waiting for the consolation of Israel. Through the Messiah, peace would be restored between God and his people. Simeon remembered the promises made to the fathers, and he longed to see them fulfilled. And then thirdly, verse 25c, Luke goes on to describe Simeon not only as righteous and devout, or waiting for the consolation of Israel, but also as one who was directed by the Holy Spirit. The end of verse 25 says, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. Prior to Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came upon Simeon in a remarkable way. He was led and influenced by the Holy Spirit. Verse 27 tells us that it was the Spirit that brought him into the temple on this particular day. It was not chance that caused Joseph and Mary to bump into this man in the temple. It was the Spirit of God that caused their paths to cross. The same Spirit that came upon Elizabeth when she heard the sound of Mary's greeting, the Holy Spirit who filled Zechariah, enabling him to prophesy of the horn of salvation, this Spirit of God rested also upon Simeon. And so you can see, congregation, that Simeon was a very special individual. The Lord and the way of salvation were very dear to his heart. The Messiah was very precious to him. Although we know very little about him, the impression we are left with from verse 25 is that he served and loved the Lord as few in his day did. What an encouragement he must have been to Mary and Joseph. Such people of faith are also a great encouragement to the Church of Jesus Christ today. May God make each one of you such men and women of faith. In our day of so much spiritual darkness, may your walk and talk be a tremendous encouragement to others. Now, congregation, Simeon had received a wonderful promise from the Lord. Go with me to verse 26. Verse 26. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Although we cannot be sure, the language here seems to suggest that Simeon was an older man. The text does not say how old he was, therefore we cannot say with certainty, but it does seem to imply that he was getting on in years. But Simeon knew that before his body would be laid to rest in the grave, he would see the Messiah with his own eyes. He would see with his physical eyes what Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and all the Old Testament saints could only see with eyes of faith. He would see what many of them long to see. Now, sometimes I've heard people say, before I die, I would like to see my grandchildren. Or before I die, I would like to see my great-grandchildren. Or I would like to see my children married. Or before I die, I would like to accomplish this or that goal. When people make such statements, it is only an expression of an uncertain desire because we never know when we're going to die, when we're going to be taken from this earth. We may desire to see our grandchildren, but that desire might never come to pass. My father never saw his grandchildren. With Simeon, although he did not know the exact day when he would die, he did know that it would not be before he had seen the promised Redeemer with his own eyes. This was one event that he looked forward to with absolute certainty. How the Holy Spirit revealed it to him is not indicated. We don't know. But Simeon had a clear word, and he believed this wonderful promise of the Spirit. Then what a day it was for Simeon when the Holy Spirit led him to the temple. The Spirit led him to a young couple who was carrying a baby. Immediately, Simeon detected that this child was different from all others. He saw that he was different, not because of a radiant glow, as you sometimes see on Christmas cards. Neither did he have a halo around his head, as artists have erroneously portrayed him. Simeon was able to see that this was the child, not because the child was more beautiful than others, or more alert, or more likable, or attractive. He recognized the child because the Holy Spirit gave him special understanding. The Holy Spirit said to him, "This is the one. This is the child, the Lord's Christ, that I promised you would see." It is also very possible, it's very possible that prior to the promptings of the Holy Spirit, Simeon had already heard about the birth of the Messiah. If you look back, go back there to verse 17 of this chapter, you read that after the shepherds saw Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger, they made known, or they made widely known, the saying that had been told them concerning this child. The shepherds, having heard the words of the angels and having seen that their words were true, became instant missionaries. Instant missionaries. Instead of returning directly to their sheep in the fields, they made widely known the things that they had experienced. Verse 18 says, have a look, verse 18. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. The shepherds were so convinced of the importance of this moment that they could not keep silent. They shared the news with everyone they met. Since Bethlehem was not far from Jerusalem, it is possible that Simeon first heard of the Messiah's birth through the proclamation of the shepherds or those who heard the shepherds. But the decisive signal for Simeon was not the message of the shepherds, but the directing influence of the Holy Spirit, who said to him, "Simeon, this is the Lord's Christ." Simeon was not left guessing. The moment he laid eyes on Joseph, Mary, and the child, he knew that the promise was complete. And so we come, secondly, from his profile to his praises. From his profile to his praises. Look with me, please, at verses 29 to 32. "Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel." Simeon's heart was bursting with thanksgiving and worship. Embracing the infant son in his arms, he proclaimed the glory of God's redemption. He thanked the Lord for what this baby meant to him personally, and then also for what this baby meant for the entire world, Gentiles and Jews. First of all, what did this infant son mean to Simeon personally? Look again at verse 29. "Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word." Verse 30, "For my eyes have seen your salvation." The infant in Simeon's arms made him confident that he was now prepared to die. He was prepared to die because he saw more than a baby. "My eyes have seen your salvation." For Simeon, the terror of the grave was no more. He could face death and the grave, for he was now more convinced than ever before that to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. He knew where he was going when he departed from this life. He could depart in peace. Through the Messiah, Simeon was at peace with God, and therefore he could depart from this life with an inner tranquility. Simeon understood that in time, he would not hold and carry this baby, but this baby would hold and carry him. He would not hold and carry this baby, but this baby would hold and carry him. His salvation was dependent upon this child. The Messiah would carry him into the presence of the Father. Just how many of the details Simeon understood about the life, suffering, death, resurrection, and ascension of this child is difficult to determine, but he certainly understood the basics. This little boy was God's way of salvation. This boy would remove the sting of death. This boy made it possible to face the grave and eternity without anxiety. Congregation, isn't this the joyful message of Christmas for all believers? Through faith in God's Son, you can face the grave. The curse is removed. You can depart in peace. You can have the same confidence that Simeon had as you stand on the threshold of eternity. You don't have to fear death if you have understood the salvation of God through Jesus Christ. And then notice, secondly, that not only did Simeon rejoice in what this baby meant to him personally, but he also praised God for what this baby meant for the world. Simeon said, "My eyes have seen your salvation that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles." Simeon knew that salvation was not only for the Jews. It was not only for one people, nation, or group. It is for all peoples, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. In line with what the Old Testament taught, Simeon declared that the Messiah would be the light of the world. The plan of salvation embraces all mankind. The Gentiles who had groped about in the darkness, in their sin and ignorance, can look to Jesus Christ for forgiveness, life, happiness, and peace. Many of the Jews at the time of Jesus were fiercely proud of their heritage. They exalted the Jewish nation and looked down upon the Gentiles. But that was certainly not the mind of Simeon. Yes, the salvation spoken of is the glory of Israel, for it was out of Israel that the Savior was born. It was from Israel that the Messiah came forth. But the benefits of his work were not limited to Palestine. The light of Jesus Christ is a light that penetrates the darkness among those from every tribe, tongue, people, and nation. The peace that Simeon had through faith in the Redeemer is a peace that is available to all who believe. Yes, it is available to you, to each and every one of you. It doesn't matter who you are, what your background is, or what your past looks like. The peace that Simeon rejoiced in is available to you. To you. We see in the book of Acts how the Holy Spirit, through the apostles, brought the gospel beyond the Jewish nation so that those in the deep darkness of sin were brought to the light of Jesus Christ and received peace. Anticipating these wonderful blessings, Simeon praised his Lord. Now, in verse 33, we're shown the response of Joseph and Mary to these praises of Simeon. We read that his father and his mother marveled at what was said about him. Just imagine, congregation, just imagine having what was presumably a total stranger take your baby out of your arms and begin praising God for him, rejoicing in the blessings that your child would bring to the world. The child was yet an infant. He had to be diapered, washed, nursed, and cared for just like any other child. He cried. He felt pain, hunger, and discomfort just like any other baby. A well-known Christmas song contains the words, "The little Lord Jesus, no crying he makes." Really? Jesus didn't cry? Is there good reason to believe that Jesus did not cry as a baby? While he was true God, he was also true man. He felt pain as any baby feels pain. He was a helpless little baby that was totally dependent on Mary and Joseph for his daily needs. Was this little helpless child the salvation of God? Was this infant from a poor, unknown family going to be a light to the Gentiles? Was this small infant the glory of God's people Israel? Would this child enable people to look death in the face and say, I can depart in peace? Can you see, brothers and sisters, why Joseph and his mother marveled at those things that were spoken of him? Such words would be enough to amaze anyone. Even though Mary and Joseph had been prepared by the angel Gabriel 10 months earlier, they were still overwhelmed by the greatness of their son and the impact that he would have on the world. And as if this wasn't enough, Simeon still had more to say. In verses 34 and 35, after blessing Joseph and Mary, he began to prophesy concerning the response to this child and the grief that he would bring to Mary, his mother. We move from his profile and his praises to his prophecy. From his profile and his praises to his prophecy. Simeon declared that this son would be the cause of much controversy and strife. This child would bring division. Look with me, please, to verse 34b. 34b. Behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign that is opposed, and a sword will pierce through your own soul also, so that thoughts from many hearts may be revealed. Simeon prophesied not only about the positive side of the Messiah's ministry, but also about the coming struggle and suffering that he would endure. Simeon pointed out that there would be no neutrality in one's attitude towards him. Some would reject him, and others, by sovereign grace, would receive him. Those who reject him would fall and be excluded from the kingdom of God. Jesus Christ would be to them a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. Many would stumble and fall over him just as they would stumble over a stone lying in their path. But those who by sovereign grace would receive him, they would rise. That is to say, they would be accepted into the kingdom of God. They would be forgiven, cleansed, and granted all the blessings of salvation. Congregation, when we observe the life and ministry of Jesus, it's not difficult to find these two responses. By some he was despised and rejected, for he exposed the evil of their heart. He called people to turn from their sin and repent of their hypocrisy. For those who wanted to cling to their sin, he became a rock of offense. They spoke against him, desired to trap him, and wanted him dead. For example, we read in the fourth chapter of Luke that those in the synagogue of his hometown of Nazareth, when they heard him, they were filled with wrath and attempted to kill him. The teaching and ministry of Jesus caused the thoughts of many hearts to be revealed. It brought clear division between those who loved him and wanted to serve him and those who were hostile to him. His words and works were like a sharp knife, cutting in two and revealing one's true loyalty. In congregation, the division that Jesus caused within the nation of Israel is also evident today. As the message of salvation is proclaimed, the thoughts of many hearts are revealed. As the word calls sinners to repentance and faith, there are only two possible responses. He is either a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, or he is recognized as the beautiful Savior who brings life to his people. There is no neutrality in one's standing with Christ. Therefore, brothers and sisters, as we at this time of the year celebrate the incarnation of our Lord, you ought to ask yourself, where do I stand? Am I for him or against him? Do I desire to serve him? Or is my attitude one of indifference and neglect? You see, the message of Christmas is far deeper than family gatherings, food, friends, crowds, gifts, chocolates, and warm memories. The coming of Emmanuel causes us to search our heart. Do we love him? Do we serve him? Do we worship him? Do we live for him? Are we prepared to depart from this life in peace because of him? In a parenthesis in verse 35, Simeon told Mary that a sword would pierce her own soul. The reference here is to the pain that Mary would experience as she watched her son being taken by the hands of wicked men. She would see him abused, beaten, and crucified. As she later stood by the bloody cross, watching her son suffer, it was as though a sword pierced her soul. She felt the intense agony and grief. When Simeon stood there in the temple holding the young child in his arms, the Lord revealed to him that the blessings of verses 29 to 32 would only be accomplished through pain and sorrow. Mary did not yet fully understand what that sword piercing her heart would include, but we who have the completed scriptures know what Simeon meant. Therefore, as we remember the incarnation, we cannot do so without also remembering the cross. The complete victory was not won at Bethlehem, but at Calvary, where the Son of God was slain. The baby in Simeon's arms was born to die in humiliation and disgrace. The purpose of his birth was that he might be offered a sacrifice for many. It is only because of the pain and suffering which our Lord was willing to endure that we can rejoice and celebrate during the Christmas season and every day. Then, brothers and sisters, may you be filled with the kind of joy that Simeon experienced. May you marvel, even as Mary and Joseph marveled. And may you have the confidence that through Jesus Christ, the terror of the grave is removed. We are quickly approaching a new year. We do not know what the future holds. Who knows? Perhaps some of us might be taken in 2020. Perhaps a senior, perhaps a young person, perhaps a child. But if your trust is in the Son of God, you can know that even if he calls you to depart, you can depart in peace. Why? Because the price is paid. The price is paid. The victory is won, and the future is secure for all who love him. Do you believe that Jesus paid the price for you? Do you believe that he won the victory for you? And do you believe that your future is secure? Are you confident that he is your salvation? Do you love him? if so, like Simeon, rejoice in your Lord.